What a very appropriate hymn on this particular Sunday. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Just a few weeks ago, this nation witnessed one of the greatest comebacks in sports history, the likes of which we may not see again for many, many years. After a 108-year drought, the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in a very exciting seventh game. And it was just a week ago at someone's birthday party, whom I won't mention right this moment, 75 plus one, Dan Scully and I were engaged in a wonderful discussion about the recent presidential election. And that discussion evolved into a sports story I had just read. Now, how that stepped down, I have no clue. But anyways, this is where we ended up. And from me sharing with him the story that I had just read, Dan shared with me that he was drafted into the Cincinnati Reds Farm Club when just a high school junior. He was a pitcher. And when I told him the title of the story, his comment was something to the effect, "Gee, I wish they had done that for me." You see, the title of the story is Widen Home Plate, which is a personal account of author Chris Berry's attendance at a baseball coaches convention. And I believe the message of this story is pertinent to this Sunday, being Christ the King Sunday, and wish to share it with you. Author Chris Berry writes, "In Nashville, Tennessee, during the first week of January 1996, more than 4,000 baseball coaches descended upon the Opry Hotel for the 52nd Annual American Baseball Coaches Association Convention. And when I waited in line to register with the hotel staff, I heard other more veteran coaches rumbling about the lineup of speakers scheduled to present during the weekend. But one name in particular kept resurfacing, always with the same sentiment. John Scalinos is here? Oh man, worth every penny of my airfare. Who in the world is John Scalinos? I wondered. No matter, I was just happy to be there. Well, in 1996, Coach Scalinos was 78 years old and 5 years retired from college coaching, from a college coaching career that began in 1948. He shuffled to the stage and to an impressive standing ovation. Wearing dark polyester pants, a light blue shirt, and a string around his neck from which hung home plate. A full-size, stark white home plate. Seriously, I wondered, who in the world is this guy? After speaking for 25 minutes, not once mentioning the prop hanging around his neck, Coach Scalinos appeared to notice the snickering among some of the coaches. Even those who knew Coach Scalinos had to wonder exactly where he was going with this, or if he had simply forgotten about the home plate since he got on stage. Then finally, "You are probably wondering why I am wearing home plate around my neck. Or maybe you think I just escaped from the state hospital." I laughed along with the others in acknowledgement of that possibility. "No," he continued, "I may be old, but I'm not crazy. And the reason I stand before you today is to share with you baseball people what I have learned in my life what I have learned about home plate in my 78 years. Several hands went up when Scalinos asked, how many Little League coaches were in the room? Do you know how wide home plate is in Little League? After a pause, someone offered 17 inches? Sort of a more of a question than an answer. You're right, responded Coach Scalinos. How about in Babe Ruth's day? Any Babe Ruth coaches in the house? Another long pause. How wide was home plate in the Babe Ruth League? 17 inches? A guess came from another reluctant coach. That's right, said Scalinos. Now, how many high school coaches do we have here in this room? And hundreds of hands went up. How wide is home plate in high school baseball? 17 inches, they said, sounding more confident. You're right, Scalinos barked. And you college coaches, how wide is home plate in college? How wide is home plate in college?
17 inches.
In minor league, any minor league coaches here, how wide is home plate in pro baseball? And in the major leagues, how wide is home plate in the major leagues?
17 inches.
Scalinos confirmed, his voice bellowing off the walls. And what do they do with a big league pitcher who cannot throw the ball over those 17 inches? There was a long pause. They send him to Pocatello, he hollered, drawing a raucous laughter. Now, I'm scratching my head. Pocatello? Come to find out, it's a small village in Idaho. A Native American Indian reservation is nearby. In other words, the underperforming pitcher is sent to the reservation. Scalinos continued. What they do not do is this. They do not say, ah, that's okay, Jimmy. You can't hit a 17-inch target. We will make it 18 inches or even 19 inches. We will make it 20 inches so you will have a better chance of hitting it. And if you can't hit that, just let us know and we will make it wider still. Say 25 inches. Coaches, what do we do when our best player shows up late for practice? What team rules forbid, when team rules forbid facial hair and a guy shows up unshaven? What if he gets caught drinking? Do we hold him accountable? Or do we change the rules to fit him? Do we widen home plate? The chuckles gradually faded as 4,000 coaches grew quiet, the fog lifting as the old coach's message began to unfold. He turned the home plate he was wearing forward to himself and, using a Sharpie marker, began to draw something. And when he turned it toward the crowd of coaches, point up, a house was revealed, complete with freshly drawn door and two windows. Coach Scalinos continues. This is the problem in our homes today. With our marriages, the way we parent our kids, with our discipline, we do not teach accountability to our kids. And there is no consequence for failing to meet standards. Instead, we widen the plate. Then to the point at the top of the house, he added a small American flag. This is the problem in our schools today. The quality of our education is going downhill so fast, and teachers have been stripped of the tools they need to be successful to educate and discipline our young people. We are allowing others to widen home plate. And where is that getting us? Silence was in the room. Coach Scalinos erased the flag and replaced it with a cross. And this is the problem in the church, where powerful people in positions of authority have taken advantage of young children, only to have such atrocities swept under the rug for years. Our church leaders are widening the home plate for themselves, and we allow it, just as the sidebar St. Bartholomew's has experienced some of what he just made reference to. Chris Berry then comments, "I was amazed at a baseball convention where I expected to learn something about curveballs and bunting and how to run better practices. I learned something far more valuable from an old man with home plates strung around his neck. I learned something about life, about myself, and about my own weakness, and about responsibilities as a leader. I need to hold myself and others accountable to that which I know to be right, lest our families, our faith, and our society continue down an undesirable path." "If I am blessed," Coach Scalinos concluded, "you will remember one thing from this old coach today. It is this: if we fail to hold ourselves to a high standard, a standard of what we know to be right, if we fail to hold our spouses and our children to the same standards, if we are unwilling or unable to provide a consequence when they do not meet the standards, and if your schools and churches and our government fail to hold themselves accountable to those they serve, there is but one thing to look forward to." And with that, the coach held home plate in front of his chest, turned it around, and revealed a dark black side. "Dark days ahead," he quietly stated. Coach Scalinos died in 2009 at the age of 91. And Chris Berry writes, "but not before touching the lives of hundreds of players and coaches, including mine." His message was clear. "Coaches, keep your players, no matter how good they are, your own children, your churches, your government, and most of all, keep yourself at 17 inches. When I finished reading this story for the first time, and it happened again as I typed the last word of it for you, I sat back in my chair with glory bumps, what we used to call goosebumps, the size of Rocky Mountains, running up and down my back. Standards, accountability, consequences are the three interwoven themes of the story just read. As was announced earlier today, is Christ the King Sunday, which marks the end of a liturgical year, and next week is the first Sunday in Advent, beginning a new liturgical year. Today also means that there are only four more Sundays till Christmas. Speaking of Christmas, many of our Christmas carols make reference to Christ as King. O little town of Bethlehem, of the Father's love begotten, O come all ye faithful, hark the herald angels sing, just to name a few. You know, Yahweh, God's kingship, can be traced all the way back to the books, the first book of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. And from the very beginning of the Gospels, the royal kingship of Jesus is present. The visit of the three kings searching for the newborn King of the Jews. Gabriel's declaration to Mary, announcing that she will give birth to the descendant of the throne of David. Jesus rides into Jerusalem to the cries, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And Pilate's accusation that Jesus is King of the Jews. You know, ever since we've been kids, all of us have heard many wonderful stories about kings. And hearing those great stories helped shape our understanding of kings. One understanding may be that a king is an absolute ruler of a region of land, a kingdom, in which all others are subject to him and that they are to serve him. In many of these stories that we heard as children, what was the penalty for not serving the king? Banishment from the kingdom or even death? Jesus, our king, stated that not to serve him results in what? Banishment from the kingdom and eternal death. Those stories from our childhood have much to teach us if we would only but make the connection. Jesus is King, head above all. There is no greater other. At the command of his Father, Jesus created the universe, the earth in which we live, and he created us, you and me. And for our own welfare, Jesus set before us standards, expectations of behavior. And if we keep his standards of behavior, we will enjoy eternal life. If we choose to ignore them, the consequence is eternal death. Man's misbehavior became so bad that Jesus found it necessary to come to us, that which we now celebrate as Christmas. And he came for only one reason: Good Friday and Easter. Mankind attempted to widen home plate. Jesus came to reset it. Not one change in his word is acceptable. Our basic understanding of a king is that of a sole ruler that establishes and maintains order throughout the kingdom. At the creation, God established his kingdom here on earth. And standards of behavior were set to provide order and justice. It is important to understand that the primary element in God's kingship is love. Jesus came not only as a king, but as a loving shepherd. God sets the standards with love and concern for the welfare of his creation. And this is quite evident in the life of Jesus, who not only set expectations of behavior, but did so as a loving shepherd who truly cares for his flock. Through Jesus' reign of true justice and love, his flock will find safety and prosperity. Jesus is King. Jesus has absolute and total control. Jesus has absolute authority. As home plate at all levels of baseball is the same size, Jesus has set the unmovable bar, set permanent paradigms and parameters under which all of us are to serve him. And we, being subjects to the living King, are his servants. and those who do not serve as set out in his commandments will be judged. Accountability and consequences are meted out. God's home plate will not be widened to accommodate our human desires and passions. This point is made quite clear in the account given in Matthew 25, when Jesus, sitting on his glorious throne, comes again to judge. We will be held accountable. We will experience consequences. And those who serve as commanded are rewarded. Chris Sperry closed his remarks with a summary of Coach Scalinos' message with a directive to keep players, to keep our children, our churches, our government, and most of all, keep ourselves at 17 inches. Human nature being what it is, that goal is not accomplished easily. It takes spiritual discipline. From Hebrews 12, verse 11, we read, "All discipline, for the moment, seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." From the Old Testament, we learned that Joshua fought for a long time with the kings. And we may come away from our reading of this war that it was but a short one. But it lasted some 7 years. There must have been times when Joshua felt like turning around to go back. However, he clung to Yahweh, God's word. He persevered and endured. The same can be said for our spiritual battle. We too must persevere and keep fighting until Christ's return. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, "By perseverance, the small snail reached the ark." Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." We persevere because there is a prize waiting for us at the end of the race. And we can persevere because God, through Jesus Christ, has given us the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to persevere without a need or desire to widen home plate. Just do what is expected by Jesus. Amen.